We'll go ahead and call the Hamburg Council meeting for January 9, 2018 to order at 7:24. If we all please rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go ahead and first order of business, just Jeremy put in the designations and appointments for 2018. We can just pass under the consent agenda. Just wanted to make sure there were no additional questions in regards to who our papers considered, our bank and lawyer and all that. So if nobody has any objections, then we'll just move on to public comment, unless there are objections. Okay, move on to public comment. Anybody have anything that they want to add to the public that we haven't already discussed, or
yeah? I was just going to mention the alley behind our house, how that damaged.
Yeah, they put in when that fiber optic company come through, mm-hmm. Now there's a dip there.
Okay.
I don't know if that box collapsed. But I'm in there, I don't know about that part.
Was it?
The second one.
Is that where they dug up mm-hmm. too and then hit the gas line?
I think, yeah.
So that could be settling because. Yeah, but we can have Greg fill it so it's put some rock in there. Yeah, no problem.
Any other public comment? Okay, we'll move on then to agenda review and adoption. Anybody have anything they would like to add?
Mayor and Council, just one thing I'd like to add to the agenda under Old City Business. And that would be Ms. Smith's payment plan, Ms. Jennifer Smith's payment plan.
Council, anybody else have anything that they would like to add or delete or pull off the consent agenda if there was sort of be something? If not, I look for a motion to adopt the agenda as amended. Second. Been moved and seconded to adopt the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll move to approve the consent agenda. I'd like to, on the delinquent utility bills, I just want to ask a question.
A payment plan was made with one of them, and another one did come in and paid almost all of it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then one shut-off notice has gone out?
One shut-off notice went out, but two were taken care of, and then we're going to discuss the old.
And then we'll discuss the other one. As long as it doesn't affect their main heat source.
Do we have a second on that?
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Move on to Old City Business, City Community Hall, and City Shop.
Roger Siebert's up here for the Sportsman's Club. And basically what they want to know what the city's plans are for the grading and pavement for where we dug up around the hall. Their concern is with the fish fry, is if they can possibly bring in some, or you want to do class five or just?
Well, we understand your left of the center, but I brought up at the Sportsman's Club meeting last week, if they pay for some gravel for us to level it off in part because it's slow pretty much and to block it. Put it on there and next year, you know, we have paid for the blacktop on there that was on there way back when. And then they said, well, you know, we don't get the permission from the city, so I said, let's come up here and explain to you what our thoughts are. And if you Dave's gonna put it back, I mean, it's something we can discuss at a later date. It's just permission to put the gravel on now, so that we can have a decent place to put the shack when we have our fish fry. Because if we'd waited till then, we wouldn't have a meeting till after the fish fry.
Right.
I just want permission to do that. And the other thing is, come next spring when you want to fix that up, we partnership with you one way or another to set it up again so that, you know, it's wide enough for the trailer. See, that was put in there when we had a narrow trailer, and now we got a wider trailer. So there's just that our blocking sat on there, and we had to park back it on the planks. So what I'm asking now is it's all right if we put gravel on it so that we can back on there, you know, set it solid, and get the plan on putting the blacktop back and side up and push the gravel off. Dig it out and use that gravel on the bottom to put stuff on the top.
How far are you thinking you're going to be coming over onto the black?
Well, what it would be would probably be about 2 feet further than what it was. You know, our trailer is 12 feet, so the sidewalk would be 4 feet or 6 feet. I don't know. So
I think there were about
16
feet there last time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that much room between us. Your deal, and we would just like a little bit wider so that it was wide, actually wide enough, but it dropped. Yeah. The blacktop dropped right down like that to put planks right on there, and we did have a slide on the ice a couple years back on the, you know, slit roof. So, but for now, I just want a permission if we have to haul in a little bit of gravel to level it out so it's set halfway even.
This is kind of beyond my pay grade. I don't deal with moving dirt and soil and that. So,
no. But I think the city should do it there. These guys do a lot for the city and bring a lot on their fish fry. They bring a lot of people into the city. And I think we should just do it. It's not going to be wasted. We can revamp them.
I mean, we'll pay for the gravel. No problem with that.
They'll do the work. Like I said, they'll do the work. Get the property out or whatever, and from the Brian or.
Is there any concern with? I mean, again, there's no concern if we put it on there and take it off later.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Council have any other objections to that, or?
We're gonna have to put it in there anyways for base.
Yeah.
For whatever we decide to.
We just scrape it back, pile it up, dig the base out, throw it in the bottom, and put fresh stuff over the top when we ever decide what we're going to do.
Was there any base on the roof that?
No. They got how many cases of beer and how many lifts of black up did it take us to put that in there?
I remember it was under there. It was a spur of the moment.
Oh, it had been quite a few lifts because it was only 12 inches thick.
City was the sidewalk fell towards the building and they wanted that to get out of the way. And we had a different trailer that sat just on the street. So then the next year, we put the blacktop in there.
I guess it wouldn't hurt because it really, we didn't budget for it, you know what I mean?
We
need base if we're going to put it back in anyway. So. I don't see it as an issue, really, because we need the base anyways. Yeah, I don't see the need for a motion.
Council, if there's no objection, I say we let the fish fry or the Hunt Fish Club go ahead and do that, unless there's an objection from somebody that is in the excavating community that something I'm not aware of. But I don't think we need a motion to do that. We can just go ahead and get it right there.
Remember, about 10 members heard everything from second hand, and by the time it got back to me, it was, well, no public comment that there. At least they figured it'd come back.
I think, like I say, you're the blessing of the council and the city, so.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing that up so you get a head start.
Yep.
All right, we'll move on then to the conditional use and variance request from Councilman Trubbish in regard to the storage containers. Based on public hearings and conversation, it sounds like we have a pin issue that we need probably to rectify first before moving forward. And are there any other thoughts from the council on that?
Just one thing I want to make the council aware of, as Dean's mentioned in his memo also, that we have to be conscious of the statutory 60-day rule for a period. So basically you have a 60-day period for taking action on items like this, or we can extend it out to 120 days with written notice to the applicant within the initial 60 days. So basically when we had the public hearing was December 12th, correct?
Yeah.
So we'd have 60 days from then to, you know, take action. I believe our next meeting is February 13th, so that's cutting it tight. My recommendation would be is that we draft something to Mr. Trubbish stating we are extending it to 120 days. And then we are required to act within that 120 days. The only way we could extend it beyond 120 days is if the applicant actually would extend it then.
Council, any thoughts on what the wishes of the, or the direction of staff would be?
I think we gotta go with that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to push it that close.
Yeah. Entertain a motion then for such?
I make a motion. Extend it to 120 days.
Second.
Moved and seconded to extend the action of public hearing to 120 days. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Nick?
Opposed? Speedy abstain?
I'm abstain.
Okay. Passes. Okay. We'll then go ahead and staff will get that taken care of. Let's go ahead then and move on to new city business. We have Senator Jensen.
Oh, before we jump there quick, sorry, Senator. Ms. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Came to the last meeting, talked about a payment, setting up a payment plan. We discussed extending that payment plan from our typical 6 months paying off their bill to current within 6 months. We've extended that to a year. To date, we have not received a payment plan.
Well, then, contractors, we made it perfectly clear that night when she was here that she missed one payment. Steve said right away, if we missed one payment, contract is broke. We're going to hold to that. And that's the way it is. And that's, yep. She's just,
all right.
Sorry.
Then we'll follow, we'll still have to follow sending a certified letter or a notice. I know it's a pain, but we got to do it legally.
Better do it right than do it.
Got to do it right.
Yeah.
So, we'll start that process, whatever ordinance says.
She sits and say we have no compassion for her, and then she, yeah. We give her from 6 months to a year, and then she goes and throws that in her face to you. That's over with.
Yeah.
The main room to take care here. Okay. No, we're just directing the staff. Okay. All right, now on to new business. Senator Jensen. You'd sign in too.
Good evening. Good
evening. Good evening.
I've met most of your things, but if I haven't, my name is Scott Jensen. And it's fun to be here. It's fun to hear you deal with local issues. I go to the town called Sleepy Eye. And, I'm really Trubisher's, and Felton's, and Lund's. I don't think we had any Grunhagen matrices. So anyway, I just wanted to get before you and let you know that I sit on the Higher Ed Committee and the Transportation Committee and then Health and Human Services and Human Services Reform Committees. And I certainly like to hear what you'd like me to focus on from Hamburg's perspective. I do have with me, I was hoping just to take maybe 3 minutes just to review real quickly what the county commissioners in Carver County are asking me to focus on. And I have their positions behind each one of these statements, but I thought I'd just go over that. And then I don't know if you have a platform or a process whereby you might forward to me 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, whatever it is, priorities that you'd like to see me, you know, really sort of bird on, because that's what I'm here for. The legislative platform that the Carver County Commissioners have put forward together, real quickly. First one is improve the eminent domain appraisal process for property owners. There have been some issues where property owners have oftentimes been sort of forced to get legal representation because frankly, the offers for the property just don't stand up. And so they want to do some things there to protect the property owners. Number two was fully transfer the sales tax on auto parts to transportation. In this last session, we did pass a statute that the sales tax on auto parts would go to transportation, but it isn't fully being transferred to transportation. So we're being asked to go back, bird dog it, find out why this is happening, and do it. I'd actually like to go a step further, and I'd like to see us do it constitutionally, which would mean that we need to get a some sort of a mandate, a referendum from the to the voters. You know, we actually have to pass it in a general election. But I think if we don't seriously get behind putting more dollars in transportation, I don't think our infrastructure needs, they just will not be met. And it's also, I don't think it's appropriate to communities like Hamburg and many communities in the central and western part of Carver County. If you actually look at what you've been doing over the last three or four decades, you're definitely the payers. You're not the getters. I mean, we have that data, and the southwestern portion of the Twin Cities has paid in royally, but we haven't gotten much. And so if now we're going to start taking great big chunks of money for light rail and things like that, then you're left with the short end of the stick. So I really think we need to plow constitutionally more dollars into transportation. Number three was it was a Chanhassen initiative. They want to see state bonding for Highway 101, the southern part of Highway 101, where it connects Pioneer Trail to old 61. It's real windy in that, and the state would like the county to take it over. Frankly, we don't want to take it over until they clean it up and fix it. So they either need to do that through some turnback funds or get the bonding. But we'd like to take it over, and oftentimes we can make a trade that's good for the county. But we first have to have them fix that 1-1. Number four is Lake Waconia Regional Park Development, and we'd like to see that move forward. The Carver County Parks and Services have done a nice job of putting together a plan. Yesterday morning, we had five or six senators that sit on the bonding committee. They came up, they took a bus, and they traveled to 101, and they saw the Waconia Regional Parks where they're at. And then just in general, capital improvement funding for regional parks. Number six, support child protection services. Seven, require the DHS to work with counties to create efficiencies and amend choices assessment and sunset cost shift. Basically, what's happening is the state's shifted some dollars down, and what they basically do is penalizing the local counties and saying, you have to pay more. And I think this is what you do with the state. You always try to find a way to deflect bills and collect more money. And so we deflect them to the county, and that will, so we need to go back to that issue and say, okay, what's going on here? Was this an intended consequence or not? Number eight was increase access and targeted funding for the basic sliding fee child care act assistance program. Number nine was support Minnesota eligibility technology system. That's the MET system. That's basically what helps people within the state decide who's eligible for medical assistance and things like that. And the last one was MET Council for Metropolitan Governance Reform. There was a lot of talk and a lot of bluster this last session regarding that council reform, but not a lot happened. And I think part of that was because of the division between the legislative branch and the executive branch of government. But the bottom line is the Met Council probably could be improved in many ways, and we just haven't gotten anything done. So I'm a little concerned as a Senator who's just finished his first year. We didn't do anything this year. And then in 2018, oftentimes the focus is on a bonding bill and not a budget bill. So possibly we won't do anything this year either. So then all of a sudden, we're in our third year, are we going to get something done or not? And I mean, we make all these campaign promises. So it's been a little frustration for me. The private sector usually tries to get things done. And if you've got a problem, figure out a solution to get it done, and go out and make a problem. But things don't work that way down in St. Paul. I'm learning. If all my patients with appendicitis were treated in the same way that the legislature treats things, we'd have a lot of dead patients with appendicitis. We're trying, that's all I can say. So those are the 10 things the county wants. I met with the Watertown City Council tonight, and they have strong concerns. They would like to see Highways 7, 5, and 25 raised up on the priority list and get higher in the queue for improvements. And I agree with them completely. And I certainly think 25 and 5 would be very good for Hamburg as well. But those are my only prepared comments. And I'd love to hear from you folks. what you think are priorities and where you think I should be focusing some of my energies.
Well, I know our number one priority going into this year is our 104-year-old water tank. We no longer can do any maintenance on it. It's to a point now where we hope it stays where it's at.
And hold water.
Yeah, well, we got some residents that are really close to the water, so they probably want to stay up in that. So the issue we have is we have 224 parcels.
About
224 parcels, and
well, there's like 236, but about 220 old.
So with that many parcels and trying to spread up 1.2 million.
So what is 1.2 million?
Roughly about.
Roughly.
Yeah.
What's the capacity?
We're looking to have it 50,000, which is double of what we have now.
So
it'll
be 100.
Or 100, I'm sorry?
100 from 50. Gallon, yeah, 100,000 gallon tower from 50.
Yeah.
And you said you have 200 and how many parcels?
We have about 215 homes.
215?
Yeah.
And when you do the math, what does that come down?
I haven't done the math a lot. Let me just give you some background quick.
We've
already, because of new EPA regulations, had to build a new water treatment plant. That cost us $1.2 million. We've had to do other infrastructures improvements that have been $1.2 million. In the last 10 years, we have spent close to $3 million in infrastructure improvements. Our rates have more than tripled our water rates in the last 10 to 12 years.
Yeah, they give you a little bit more perspective on that too, Senator Jensen. So when I moved to town 16 years ago, no, maybe 14 years ago, I paid my water bill once a quarter. And I'm sure there's others in here who paid it once a quarter too at that point. It steadily got worse. Now we're paying once a month, which I think that's normal for everybody. But in the process, my once a quarter amount that I paid is just short of what I pay now once a month. So it's just, and it has a lot to do with, you know, kind of the I&I issues that we had, and it goes to a little bit to your Met Council, or what the, you know, the Carver County Commissioners are discussing about Met Council, is you have a group down there, you know, in the cities, telling us out here on the last stone of Carver County that we have to do certain things. Well, we don't have the tax base, we don't have the business base in that to be able to defer some of these costs, and so we'll do what we can, but again, we have another $1.2 million standing, you know, in front of us that if, you know, hopefully it doesn't happen, but God forbid that water tower goes down and we can't go ahead and provide water to our residents, there'll be bigger issues that we'll have to deal with at that point in time. But 1.2 million to 240 something, that's what, $60?
Oh, 5,600 a piece.
Yeah. Jeremy, you might have more expertise on this than I do. Yeah. What is the best or most efficient way for a community like Hamburg to get support from the state? What path might we follow? Because I'll certainly start that process for you.
We've gone to our senators. We've gone to our representatives. I've gone to Department of Health. I've gone to PCA for financing. And our biggest thing is what we've gone to is our senators and representatives is for funding. The lack of funding over the years for infrastructure improvements has dissipated.
What sources of funding were you trying to tap into?
Well, we tried bonding bill, but we've got shut down on that. We've tried any type, the grant programs, Water Legacy Act. I'm trying to think what else. Just
with the Minnesota cities, I mean, with that today.
We've worked with small cities, Minnesota small cities.
Minnesota small cities.
Yeah. And what's that?
Does Minnesota small cities have a lobbyist that I could connect with and we can see if
we can I don't know who the current lobbyist is right now, but we also work with Rural Water, Minnesota Rural Water, going through them too.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think what else we've done or exhausted. We've worked with, you know, PFA, Minnesota Public Facilities Authority.
And some of the things that we run up against in some of these formulas is that our median income puts us out of the ballpark.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, we don't, I mean, if you took the median income and extrapolated it on a weighted average, we wouldn't have the median income that we have, but unfortunately that's not how you calculate median income. It's based on all the incomes that are there, but we have a few high earners that basically blow up our median income. And so by that happening, we get knocked off of some of these loans that we could do.
Right.
And I guess, I mean, if there's one thing that you could really do and help us out, it's a bonding year. And we're a small community of a little over 500 people asking for $1.2 million. I mean, that would go a long way to keeping this, you know, community from not having to worry about an issue of that water tower failing anytime.
Hopefully another 100 years, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'll be meeting with people on Thursday and Friday this week, and we'll start to try to see if we can get this thing going.
We've had good success with PFA, but we haven't been able to find any grant funds through PFA. And two of the reasons which Mayor Lund talked about, you know, was the median high income. The other option typically...
It's interesting because median really should be above and below. It's not mean, it's median. Yeah, so the high
right.
income people really should not do that to you.
Right.
Not
but, it, but we've never met it. Yeah, we never met that threshold. And the other thing that they go off by grants is your rates, which now we would love to reconsider because our rates have tripled. So we may possibly be going down that route for grant monies is what our rates are at.
Why don't you take my number, Jeremy, at the Capitol? My number is 651-296-3988. And if you could hook me up with anybody in particular, okay. You might help. I'll start at Lyon, but I'm
sure.
Starting blind. All the Minnesota Small Cities, Minnesota Rural Water Administration, Facility Authority,
yep.
The bonding bill. I'll certainly try to turn over any rocks I can get, but this is, I mean, I'm going to guess that the average home in this community probably pays property taxes of somewhere around $2,000 to
$3,000.
That'd be a guess.
Probably more closer to the three, I would say.
Yeah. But you're talking about your water tower alone. You'd have to take your property tax and double them again. You'd go from $3,000 to $9,000 to pay for that water tower.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way in the world you can do that.
Yeah.
That's as bad as the healthcare cost situation. That's what I'm going to deal with Mayor Lund after. He's going to tell me what to do. Any, I certainly will. Who do you want me to be the contact point on this? Jeremy or Mayor?
Either or.
Okay. Chris, you and I have emailed him. Let's stay in touch and don't let me forget that one.
Oh, you won't. I mean, we talked towards the end of the year last year through the budget process and that in our workshops, we discussed in the council that you're probably going to see the five of us, six of us down at the Capitol routinely until we at least figure out that we can't be on the bonding bill. If that's what it comes down to.
I wish I would have known that because, like I say, the bus came out yesterday and I would have loved to. They may not have driven out here just to look at a water tower anyway. So I'll just, Dave Sendrum is the senator who's in charge of the bonding bill. He and I have a good relationship. So I will go back to him and say, David, I need your help. How do I get, a water tower built? And can't build a whole building. Is there a way we can do 50%? Something like that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, any little bit that we can help defer the cost.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That would be great. For
you. Yeah. Very good. You have been a payer. You've not been getting much for your tax dollar. You know that.
Yeah, we do.
Any other items? Otherwise, I don't want to hold you up. But
I don't know. Maybe council's in agreement, but... You know, it's not a huge priority for us now, but I think future-wise is 212.
Yeah, and we did get $11.5 million to do the interchange with 140 and 212, and now we're going back, and we're now going to try to fill in those gaps where the 212 is a single lane, and so that we can get it all the way up to Glencoe as a four lane. And we actually were able to, in the legislative statute that was passed, we actually got it declared the 212 is eligible for quarters of commerce dollars. And normally they go through a process to decide whether it would be not. We put in that they cannot deny 212 quarter of commerce status. So is that? And there's like $350 million in that. So we're optimistic that we can maybe grab onto some of that to start to fill those gaps. And so we're optimistic.
Yeah, so because we're looking to get 212 out here, because part of that picture too is to be able to get so we can build some industrial.
Absolutely.
So we can get industrial.
What about broadband?
We're on the county fiber optic,
so
yeah, if we could just get that local company to come into town.
Yeah.
an offer, but
yeah, Jaguar, they're piped through, but they haven't come to town yet to offer their services. Yeah. So last year when we hosted the Safe Amateur Baseball Tournament, I was trying to get them to put fiber to the baseball field so that way when guests came they could access the Wi-Fi and that. But they told us that they hadn't planned on looking at our area for a couple of years still yet, so they didn't want to have to do that PR conversation. So we end up using a company called Broadband that comes from our water tower and that, who actually does have a hookup to Jaguar, so they get fed through Jaguar. And so that was beamed over to the baseball field, so it was able to use their high-speed internet via that.
So the specific thing you wanted Jaguar to do was to take you from the county line in?
Yeah.
I have fairly strong connections with Jaguar. I'm involved in the project over on 212 and Angler right now, and we're using Jaguar. And they're based, as you well know, out of Bogota.
Yes.
So, yeah, I'll make a couple calls there and see if I can.
Yeah, because it'd be ideal if we could.
We'd love to have some competition out here.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had 10, 20 people have already requested to have them come into town for service.
Are you applying for any of the dollars that we put towards broadband and outstate, or are you not eligible because you're in Carver County?
Oh, I haven't looked into that, no.
It's worth a phone call.
Okay.
You know, because we did, and you know, community size-wise, we fit. I just don't know if, you know, you have that 7-county metro area working against you.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of our recent
typically
big expenditures, like we talked about with the water and sewer, is because we are the last pebble in Carver County, although we're not quite the size of some of the bigger towns in Carver County.
Certainly the water tower and the Jaguar connectivity, I'll look into both of those.
Council, anything else for the center?
I was going to say 212, that's a big one, and the water tower, I would think that Jaguar would be really great.
I will connect with Chris as I move through this process. My LA is anxiously looking for some work for me, and I'll give it to her on Thursday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other new business? Otherwise, we move on to council reports. Okay, Councilman Watkinson's not here. Councilman Tracy. Councilman Feltman?
No, I really don't have anything except that guy that was in here that one day when I was on vacation and talked about the Milky Building. Has he ever
gone
any further?
No, I even talked to Doris about that, and she didn't sound too optimistic with him. I know, you know our conversation too. He was looking to make a buck, not to turn, you know, it was seemed like a money type project, not.
Just the questions he was asking
me. It looked like he was trying to turn a dollar, so. I've had more interest, actually, talked to Lois about getting that lot filled down on Jacob Street, so.
Oh.
Kind of hoping that we'll see some action on that this spring.
Good. Anything else? Councilman Kurdish? Or Councilman, yeah. No.
Okay. We just kind of brought that up. Is there anything on the other building, on the old bank building?
Let's see, Rademacher's building, right?
Right.
Yes, I have been in contact with them. Inspect's been in contact with them. He has, last fall, his contractor backed out or something to do some work.
Yeah.
So he said he's going to be at it this spring, so we've kind of extended that. So he's on the radar for spring. To make sure that, you know, the corrections are made. So it's on the to-do list of us, and it's also MinSpec's on top of that item too.
Just wondering if there's anything else on the list, the nuisances, that they should be all, I mean, just as responsible as everybody else.
Yep. In agreement.
Okay. Well, I just have a couple of things. I don't know if everybody got an invite to this or not, but it's the Community Awareness Emergency Response Group. I did this last year. It was pretty enlightening as far as how many pipelines and just different things that we have going through the county and through our city, and what takes place, who all gets called in, and they actually go through a scenario, like whether it's a pipeline explosion or some type of explosion, and that, and they talk about how each entity in the equation does what they do, and that. And so I learned a lot about pipelines in general, but it was pretty good information. It'll be
Tuesday, January 30th.
Yeah, so I plan on going. So if anybody else in that, I would definitely encourage you guys, because not, God forbid again, we have a pipeline explosion in town, but it might be good information to be able to figure out what we need to do when that time does come.
But when do you want to respond? I'll probably go. I've gone to so many of these, but it's a free meal. What the heck?
Well, it's not a free meal. You have to go there and sit and listen.
Yeah.
Is there a registration? You have to come in. See what happens.
Yeah, there's got to be something on that website that we can send out.
Yeah, I'll look into it. We'll figure it out. Right. Me and you can butt heads. Okay.
The other thing I have is just a reminder, because I have a prior commitment on Friday morning, mayor's hours will be from 10 to 12 on Friday. So if anybody, spread the word, let people know if they're in town, they can and talk with me and add that. That way I don't have to talk to the staff as much, but. But come on in. It's an opportunity for me to be able to hear any comments that people have. And that. I know some of the room have taken advantage of that as well, so I appreciate that. Last thing I have is I was at a regional council of mayors meeting yesterday and put on by ULI Minnesota. And there was some interesting information. There was a gentleman, Tom Fisher, from the University of Minnesota, that was there talking about autonomous vehicles and how the belief is, based on the information that's being done out in San Francisco and Seattle, that in the next 15 years, 50% to 60% of the vehicles on the road in Minnesota likely will be autonomous, according to Tom Fisher. And so I was like, so there was a lot of questions that there were 55 mayors at this meeting. And so there was a lot of questions about, okay, what happened?
Meaning self-driving.
No driver. So like one of the questions that popped up is what happens if a person is driving a vehicle and then they run into a vehicle that's autonomous? Who's at fault? And so it opened up a lot of interesting conversations. They will, MnDOT will have an autonomous bus at the Super Bowl this year.
Jeez.
So they will have one running by Nicollet Mall or somewhere around that area. And people ask, well, how can this happen in 15 years?
Yeah.
It just seems really, really quick. Well, I also found out during the conversation that from Detroit to Fargo on I-94 is considered the green highway. Apparently there's stops along the way every 30 minutes where a car can go ahead and re-energize. I learned a lot during the meeting of that, and they meet every month, so I plan on continuing to go to the meetings and that, and at some point in time they may ask us to become official members, which is a little bit of a cost, and we can discuss that at that point if there's still good information coming out of that conversation. Because one of the questions that got posed by one of the mayors, I forget if he was Minnetonka or if he was St. Louis Park, one of the two, asked the question, as we're going through our 2040 comp plan, why hasn't the Met Council talked about autonomous cars?
Great.
And the Met Council rep didn't have he didn't have anything really to talk about. He goes, oh, we've kind of been talking about that. But in all the 2040 comp plan stuff that I've seen, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, but I don't think I've seen anything about autonomous cars. This is the first time I've heard about autonomous cars being in our neck of the woods this quick.
Do you really think that's the smartest deal with millions of people to put a bus on the Nicollet Mall? They're complaining about people running over people all over the country, and now you want to put somebody that ain't in a bus?
I don't think
that's the smartest
thing to do. The interesting thing that one of the analogies that was floated out there.
Figure out their strike issue.
Yeah, Tom Fisher mentioned about back at the turn of the century when the horse and buggy was prominent in downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul, and cars started to become more and more prevalent, there was a concern at that point in time that the government was going to take away your horse, that you weren't going to be able to be your horse. Well, after a while, you know, it took a while. It took 15 years, but he showed a picture from, I think it was 1901, of downtown Minneapolis and all the horse and buggies. Same street in 1916, no horses and buggies. So if our ancestors adapted that quickly to that, I don't know, maybe they're not far off in how quickly we're going to adapt to this autonomous car.
But if we're going to stop every 30 minutes to go to Moorhead, if we got to be there on Friday, we're going to leave there on Sunday?
It might be quicker to go by carrier pigeon.
Oh, there we go. It's snowshoe wear faster.
And Mr. Fisher did mention that one of his colleagues is out in San Francisco where they're doing a lot of this piloting. One of the people wanted to take a trip from downtown Oakland to downtown San Francisco. And then when he got in the autonomous taxi, he said, take me the quickest route. Well, the taxi drove him to the BART and told him to get on the BART system because that's the quickest route at that point in time. So these autonomous vehicles, they're going to be able to talk to the whole system so they know according to what was discussed yesterday. But like I said, it was interesting, and it was almost more interesting the fact that they think it's going to happen by 2035.
Can't wait till that gets hacked.
So in our mining industry, the gravel pits and stuff, we already have stuff, loaders and trucks that are running that don't have anybody in them. The guy just sits up in the tower and he programs everything. That loader goes to the pile and he charges that crusher, and that's all it does all day long.
That's weird.
Nobody sits in the seat. Just all day long.
Well, as you all go home tonight, think about autonomous cars and that. But anything else for the good of the city? If not, I look for a motion to adjourn.
I move to adjourn.
Yep.
Greg, you told me one time to check in with a building down the park about the roof. What options for it?
The Lions building?
Yeah. So, years ago, we built right underneath the tin. Howard John says it was for your scared baseball set. Apparently, I don't remember much from that building. Apparently, the baseball field used to go in another direction or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember is my mom yelling that crap that I was on the road. But anyhow, that built right over time some condensation, I'm sure. It swelled up, and that's why the needles are popping. That's why it's leaking. You gotta take that tin off, tear that bolt right out of there. And you can put plywood back down. Now, last 3 years, now they've come out with a felt that's formed to the back of the tin. That's for sound and moisture, or vapor barrier. And we put it on cattle barns and everything. Designed to whip the water down to the bottom. And out of the building. I got it on my cattle barn. I've never had a drip on it. Inside building. And that's what I haven't put on. Okay. It'd be a lot easier than messing around with resheeting that roof.
Yeah.
Can't sheet it and shingle it because the rafters are 8 foot on center unless you're going to put another rafter in between.
Yeah.
There was some talk about plywood on it and shingling it.
Ain't going to work.
Okay.
Ain't going to hold.
Nope.
Unless you put another rafter in between them because they're 8 foot on center. That building had to come out of the lack of some life and buildings years ago. My grandpa was hooked up with them. That's where all of our coal barns years ago come from. And they designed everything 8 foot on center with a 2x10 and a hitch on top. Now everything is built 4 foot on center.
You want to look into that then?
Yep.
Talk about it at future meeting?
Yep.
Thanks for the information. That's helpful.
We'll have a couple buildings for you to bid.
So there was a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned at 8:07.